گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا.
عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا. عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا. میں دیدار گنبد سے مخمور ہوگا, میں دیدار گنبد سے مخمور ہوگا. کبھی نور ہوگا کبھی تور ہوگا, عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا. گناہوں سے اپنے میں رنجور ہوگا, بفیض شفاعت میں مغفور ہوگا. گناہوں سے اپنے میں رنجور ہوگا, بفیض شفاعت میں مغفور ہوگا. اڑے گی ہوا سے جو خاک مدینہ, اڑے گی ہوا سے جو خاک مدینہ. میں ایسے غباروں میں مستور ہوگا, عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا. میں روزہ پہ صلی علی نظر کر کے بدل نور ہوگا, بجانور ہوگا. میں روزہ پہ صلی علی نظر کر کے بدل نور ہوگا, بجانور ہوگا. مدینہ کے انوار شام و سحر سے سراپا دلوں جا سے مسرور ہوگا, عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا. ہر ایک امر میرا سنت پہ چل کر خدا کے کرم سے میں منصور ہوگا, ہر ایک امر میرا سنت پہ چل کر خدا کے کرم سے میں منصور ہوگا. احد کے شہیدوں کے خون وفا سے سبق لے کے پابند دستور ہوگا, احد کے شہیدوں کے خون وفا سے سبق لے کے پابند دستور ہوگا. مدینہ میں جب قلب و جا چھوڑ آیا, میں مہجور ہو کر نہ مہجور ہوگا, عجم کے بیابان سے مفرور ہوگا, گلستان طیبہ سے مسرور ہوگا.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, نحمد و نصلی علی رسول کریم. We will just translate this poem briefly. And during it, we will mention a few points. May Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for all. In these words, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah has made a very beautiful picture of Medina Munawwara. And as that person walks through those lands, and for many reasons, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted that his ummah must come to the land of Medina Munawwara. One is what we explained previously, that is the land where it all happens. That's the land where batteries get charged. That is the land where the heart pumps out ruhaniyat. And in that land, and that person who makes that contact with the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then things happen after that. So Allah Ta'ala left in this world that magnet, or that engine that is pumping. And as that thing, heart pumps, and that ruhaniyat happens, then when a person walks in these lands, and he just has a little bit of seerat in his mind, then he gets a unique picture of what it was and what has happened. That after 1,000 years also, that message is still there. When we were on our way from Makkah Mukarramah, we were going to Badr. From Medina Munawwara, we were going to Badr. So Badr is quite far. Uhud is nearby, but Badr is far. And as you're driving, and you're seeing nothing, then one thought comes in your mind that you just look on the side and you only see desert. And you're thinking that once upon a time, now walking on that land, was that whole jamaat of people on the camels. And it's hot. And at that time, how everyone's head must have been covered with a scarf and looking down. So at that time, one thought when that, what is a Nabi? That as he's moving on that camel, in the middle of nowhere, that leg, desert. You in the bus, at least you're moving. That camel, how long it's taking? And they're just moving. They got one caravan to capture. So in the middle of nowhere, with a small group, it was a very small army. You're going nowhere because there's one caravan to capture. But what was that sharh-e sadr of that heart? That how much of yaqeen was in that heart? That as it's moving in that nowhere desert, this heart understands that in this one walk is the guidance of the whole world written. And when you're looking and you say, where are you going? And if that time the Nabi of Allah is saying, I'm going to take over the whole world. And you say, with your small army. And one person got a sword, one hasn't got a sword. How are you going to take over the world? But what was that sharh-e sadr? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam, when Allah tabarak ta'ala now made that, the time for his nubuwa to come. So before Surah Taha, at the ending of Surah Taha, Allah tabarak ta'ala ends. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. That those people who are able to remain firm in the face of every fitna and difficulty, no matter what they say, we will remain true to our Creator. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, from the different favors I will give them, I will create a world of love upon them. سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. A world of love will be placed on them. Which in the hadith has been explained that Allah Ta'ala first makes the announcement in the heaven that, oh Jibreel, certain person I love. Jibreel alayhi salam then makes the announcement in the higher heavens that Allah loves that person. Thereafter Jibreel alayhi salam to the higher heavens then will make the announcement to the lower heavens. And thereafter that announcement is made to what is called the earth, which comes at the ending, that Allah then creates an atmosphere of acceptance. For that one person, meaning in the hearts of many, the person just takes to him. You just start liking someone. سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. That whoever he moves in this world, some people get a liking to him. And when that person is put in his grave, then that grave is loving him. And it says to him, the whole life I was waiting that if only you can come to me. I was waiting for. And that person, when he stands up on the day of Qiyamah, then the angels will surround him in love. And when that person will enter into Jannah, everyone who will make his khidmat will make it in love. So يَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ. That whore, when he will call her, she won't say, I just came. She'll be thrilled that, can I be at service? That alam of love will be so much on that person.
But then to explain what is this alam of love in the next surah, which is called Surah Taha. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala starts the surah that this Quran wasn't sent to make life difficult for anyone. Rather, the Quran was sent as a message. There will be certain people who will accept it and they're going to fly. And then there will be certain people who will die to break the Quran. No matter what they see, they will never be ready to change. They will spend their lives, give everything to make sure this Islam doesn't reach. And then one example is given that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, "Hal ataka hadithu Musa?" That don't you know about Musa alayhi salam? That what didn't he have, but the man who saw everything, Fir'aun, was not going to listen. But Fir'aun and his entire army standing up against one Musa. That is the Sharh al-Sadr. It was only one Musa. But how it happened? So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, that don't you know that when Musa alayhi salam came in that one valley and the light came, and then he's shocked and he says, "What is this?" Then Almighty Allah says that I am Allah. And I have selected you for me. And you got a mission that you have to go to on Fir'aun. Innahu taha. Now Musa alayhi salam before this knew Fir'aun very well. Because he grew up in the lap of the palace of Fir'aun. He saw it all, the power, the zulam, the oppression. And finally Musa alayhi salam, when he ran because he knew there's no way you can stand up against Fir'aun and his army. He had to leave immediately when he killed that one Qibti. So now when Musa alayhi salam is told that you have to go to an Fir'aun, it's not an easy thing. But just before that, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala teaches one lesson to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. That there is a world of difference between maddiyat and ruhaniyat. That as long as you had physical strength, maddi strength, you know that in front of Fir'aun you would have done nothing. Because he had the strength. When Musa alayhi salam ran from Fir'aun, he had punched a man. On the one punch, the man fell down dead. Musa alayhi salam had the love of the Bani Israel already from the beginning. He was like their chief. But in all those years that he was the prince of the palace of Fir'aun, he could never ever think that I will stand up against Fir'aun. Because there was maddi power. So to teach Musa alayhi salam, there's a difference between maddi, meaning material power, and spiritual power. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala first says, "Oh Musa," because Musa alayhi salam is going to immediately say, "How can I go to Fir'aun? I'm one man." So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala to teach him, that when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala wants a decision to be made, then you don't ever look at the outside. You always look at what's on the inside. This is what I was speaking about. As that Jamaat was going, of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, that was a very small army. And if they had to say, "We are going to take over the world," he will tell them that you worry about your Medina. But there was something that they had been taught, that it doesn't make effect what's on the outside, it's what's going through the inside. If Allah has made a decision, then one man changes the whole world. One man. So to teach Nabi Musa alayhi salam, thus Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, "Wama tilka biyameenika ya Musa." That you got something in your hand, what's this? So Musa alayhi salam says, "My stick." And this wasn't any stick. Nabi Musa alayhi salam had selected the stick when he was by his father-in-law. It was a unique stick and his father-in-law never wanted him to take this stick. But it happened that this was the stick he grabbed. And in this stick he found all what he wanted to find. It was a unique stick. So when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala asked him, he never said, "It's a stick." He said, "This is my stick. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. Whenever I am tired, I'll rest on this. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي. If I hit the trees, you see the branches falling on my animals. You will see the leaves falling. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. And in the stick of mine, there are so many other benefits. Carry on and carry on. What a stick. So at that time, his eye was on the outside of that stick. That was a material stick. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, all your benefits, but you know one thing, that if I tell you, take the stick and hit on the head of Fir'aun, you will tell me, I'll never take a chance. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, take that stick and throw it. You will be have to ready to throw maddiyat to see ruhaniyat. Which yesterday I was speaking to the students, so I explained that as long as we don't understand that we can't fight against the war of maddiyat, the world of shaitan is based on materialism. If we think we will fight material against material, they will always beat us. So I said one example is that it shouldn't be an alim becomes an alim, but his entire azmat and honor and his recognition for himself is in his cell phone, mobile. And when you meet him, then he'll tell you, you saw my phone. And in that phone, he won't show dunya, he will show deen. He will say, he got Quran. Say, I press this button, I got my Quran Sharif. I say, very good. Say, I'll show you namaz times. I'll show you qibla. I can tell you if the moon is going to be sighted tonight or not. It's all here. It will show you the phase of the moon. They'll sight it, they won't sight it. Whatever news comes, I get it first. I'll never miss my salah, I'll find my qibla. And I got a whole library of ilm also on here. But in the end of the day, all that you got is you are thrilled with a material phone. So I mentioned to the students, that phone will never help you to fight against the material world. The day that you realize that my power is not in a phone, then you can use the phone. Then there's no problem. But as long as you are amazed with technology, you are fighting a losing battle. So I said, as Allah Tabarak Ta'ala told, oh Musa, you want to see power, throw your phone down. I said, in the ending, Allah Pak will have to tell us, you want to see power, throw your phone. The day you throw that phone, then you will understand that my deen is not based on whatever that Nokia or the Blackberry, that without it I don't know my salah time, without it I don't know my qibla, without it I don't know this, without it I don't know that. Our honor has been based in what is called Quran, which has come in the heart of people, which was not dependent even on pages. Someone says, look at what a beautiful Quran I got. So you say the beauty is not because of the binding and the pages. Because Quran came without pages. It was written on leaves. The beauty of Quran was the Quran itself. As soon as man placed importance on the outside, then the strength of his ruhaniyat became weaker. So as that group was walking, they understood that when Allah makes a decision, He won't look at numbers. If going through you is Allah's decision, you will take over the world. You will stand against any fitna. So Musa alayhi salam, when he saw this, he was told, throw your stick. If that's all you have seen in the stick, the outside, we will show you what goes in the inside of the stick. And as soon as that happened and the stick became a serpent, forget Fir'aun running, the mighty Musa also ran. And then Allah tabarak ta'ala said, where are you running? So grab it, now you have to grab a serpent. Grab it and we will return it to its original condition. And thereafter Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, put your hand under your arm, look at the color. We will show you unique powers, but now go to Fir'aun. So at that time Musa alayhi salam made some unique du'as and he taught the world that when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gives you a chance to stand up against the Fir'aun of your era, and there will always be Fir'auns, then you have to go with certain du'as. And when those du'as are accepted on your haqq, then you got no problem after that. So the first thing he said, Rabbi Shrahli Sadri. That, oh Allah, let my own heart open up to this mission. Because I, as long as I myself don't have yaqeen on what my mission is, then I can't go and fight a Fir'aun. The Shrahli Sadr is that when the person himself is convinced. In our own time, you can understand, Hazrat Murana Ilyas Rahimullah, he is sitting in the middle of nowhere. And small people are coming to him. And they're complaining about the outside, what the world is saying around the masjid. And he is telling the person that one day in that area, this jamaat, foreign jamaat will be there. And in that area, so and so foreign jamaat, and that man must be looking at him. That your own dawah hasn't reached outside the masjid and you got dreams. But who will dream a thing less? A man who got that sharh sadr. A man who's on the musalla. I remember years ago someone explained that Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah, when he came to South Africa the first time. So Hazrat Murana Hussein Bayat Sahib, Rahimullah, brought him. But at that time no one knew him in the country. And our people at that time were very like what is called scared of the tasawwuf, because it was like a zikr thing and zikr was heavy stuff. So most likely his son mentioned to me, or someone mentioned, that during the day they would sit in the shop. So his father would be doing business, and Hazrat Rakim Sahib and Mir Sahib are sitting. Now I'm picturing that sight, that you see those two of them sitting and the customers are coming, and you buy and sell. At night there's a program in one masjid, we'll go there. But during the day, where are you going to go? So during the day you're sitting in the shop. But while sitting in the shop, what was that sharh sadr of that man? That his dua was, O Allah, whoever hears my talk, let him give his life for you. And his dua was, O Allah, I want people to translate this love of me into different languages. And now with that yaqeen, he's sitting in that shop. What yaqeen it is. Imagine me and you have to sit in the shop. All day we're sitting in the shop. What are we going to do? Say, next time I won't come here again. Where he left, because there he already had his jamaat. He was accepted. But here he was an unknown man. But what sharh sadr? That it will happen. And Allah tabarak ta'ala, how? And today when we look at it, we say, like, you know, he made South Africa burn. But when you look at the beginning, no one would have thought the match would light. But that's sharh sadr. That yaqeen in a mission. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes home, he's dusty. Fatima radiallahu anha wants to cry. She says, oh my father, look at the condition. No one is accepting. And this was after Makkah Mukarramah. Makkah Mukarramah would have created more cheers. At least now there was Medina. At this time, if she's crying, what was her cheers in Makkah Mukarramah? When day and night she would see her father go out with hope and come back without hope. Go out with hope, come back, nothing happened. Go out with hope. And we might think it was a one-day thing, two-day thing, three-day thing. The thing is, Makkah Mukarramah's history, we hardly know. Read in Hayatul Sahaba, if you have the English. It was the Hajj that was the time for the da'wat of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they say it was the Hajj, it means after this Hajj when nothing happened, he is now waiting for next year Hajj. Waiting, because Hajj time the people from around are going to come. Waiting, waiting, then the days of Hajj come, he goes back. And then the people say, didn't you meet us last year? And then gone. And now again you're waiting for the next Hajj. Not the next month. Next Hajj. And then the third Hajj comes. And then the fourth Hajj comes. And then a time comes when one man says, you know, I'm amazed at you. So many times we have seen you and we said nothing. And you still haven't lost hope. You're still coming back. Hajj after Hajj after Hajj. So what was that sharh sadr? That he would say, Abu Bakr, you're coming with me today. We'll go in the plains. Ali, you want to come with me, radiallahu anhu. Abbas, you want to come with me, let's go. And none of them would say, oh Allah's messenger, I don't think it's going to happen. They had that love for the Nabi, and go, let's go. But what was that sharh sadr that one day after 10 years, 13 years, something's going to burst. There's that bubble that's going to happen. What sharh sadr you need? So that man who Allah Pak blesses with that sharh sadr. So when you're in Medina Munawwara, where he says, Ajam ke bayaban se mafroor hunga, that I will run away from this world of kufriyat and just go there. And when you come there, the first thing you see is what heart it was. Sharh sadr, that no matter where I am, if my Allah makes a decision for me to stand up against fitna, I will stand up against any firaun. And the world will change. Many a time people say, we don't know what's going to happen. So we always say that, remember, Islam is here to remain. Our fikr is, we hope we remain in Islam. That's the fikr. Islam is not going to have a problem. Islam has come through what and what, but how it moved. When you read the history, as soon as Allah's messenger passed away, what and what fitna hit the Muslim world, from the lands of Iran, the lands of Iraq. Every type of fitna, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when the Bani Israel were hit with 72, 73 major sects, my ummah is going to get knocked with the same. And in each sect there would be about 70, 80 branches, each one. One Mu'tazila group stands up, the man dies immediately, 60 groups up, 60. How do you fight against 60 groups? But then immediately it would be that the Bani Israel, one thing they had, is when they would break into so many groups, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala would always make a new Nabi come to them. And he would now have to break all the old stories and put it right. And when in the ending it was all corrupted, there was always that hope when Isa alayhi salam was going up. And even if they corrupt you again, don't worry, I have come to give the glad tidings of a man called Ahmad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to sort out everything, and now they're waiting, waiting. But what happens to a ummah after this Ahmad Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the ummah? Now there is no basharat, glad tidings. That don't worry, no matter what shaitan will do, oh my ummah, another Nabi will come and sort you out. No, there's nothing. At that time you will say the ummah is like an orphan. There's no father. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing away, he wants to know one thing. Oh Allah, what will happen to my ummah? So he was so, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will make you happy regarding your ummah. And in that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa will give indication that this Islam has come to stay. That now whatever shaitan did in the past, he's going to do it to the power of hundreds. That power he's going to get, and he's going to make what and what attacks which the world never saw before. But no Nabi is going to come and sort it out. Men are going to be created. Now what type of men that is not a Nabi, but he can stand up against an entire ummah of Fir'aun? Which I mentioned the other day to students, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned faqihun wahidun. That one man who has been blessed with the ilm of Islam, meaning a connection with Quran, he is harder on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. So in my mind I would always look at it that shaitan means blow. He would make one blow and run away. A'udhu billah. So that's our shaitan. But when you understand shaitan in the right sense of the word, that you say forget the Jewish lobby and forget the UN and forget America and forget Britain. These are all puppets. Pulling the strings of them is one shaitan. On top of the major lobby sits the army of shayateen with Iblis at the head. And they directing this entire game. And Allah Pak has given them the power. Given it in their hands. Now we are scared of America. But understand who's pulling that strings of America. What a powerful shaitan. Now in front of that power, Allah's messenger mentions one faqih. Shaitan dreads him more than he will dread 1,000 people coming. So you understand it that you look at one poor Maulana. One Maulana. He might have his small bag in which he got his couple of kitabs. But he's a man who has been blessed with Sharh al-Sadr. His heart has been opened that we can fight anything as long as Allah has kept a decision in our heart. Now you look at that one faqih, one alim, one maulana. He got his one topi on, he got an imama. He goes in America and he looks in, looking up. And he's looking at that tower which is going like 70 floors up. And as he looks up, even his topi will fall down. Hi. And you say, wow, what power. But that one alim, he has been made to destroy not that one tower, that entire world of kufr. On his hand, Allah has created an inqilab of the world. But the thing is, he has to have that sharh sadr. That when he looks at the building, he can't say, wow. When he looks at the building, he will read verses. That on the day when that trumpet will be blown, even the mountains will be flying. Forget your big building. All a lie. That sharh sadr every sahabi was blessed with. That when they were now sent into the lands of the Romans and Persians, they could tell the man, this is nothing. These are toys. Lahu wa la'ib. Zinatu wa tafakhurun. They would read verses of Quran. These are games. All games. Pretty girls, games. In the girl, you could see the end of the girl. One day, my friend, you're going to become old. What's going to happen to you in the qabr? In the beautiful horses, you would see destruction behind. You're going to die tomorrow. That amount of sharh sadr. So Musa alayhi salam made the first dua. Rabbi shrah li sadri. That, oh Allah, my heart must open. That I must have that yaqeen myself. When the man himself gets that amount of yaqeen, then things can happen. As long as we ourselves are in our own doubt, then Allah tabarak ta'ala deals with man on his own. That yaqeen. That, oh Allah, I know my problem is that I'm not yet with you. I have to still make that ta'alluq. That's my yaqeen. Build on that yaqeen. Rabbi shrah li sadri. And then Shaitan will tell you, it's you mad. How are you ever going to fight the world of Shayateen? You rather join the flow. You can't move against the flow. Your own manage. People will mock you. Your own friends will mock you. Your family will mock you. If we had to look in South Africa many years ago, 50 years, imagine at that time you told someone, you know, I want a place like Azadville, where people from around the world are coming to study. And there are people whose wives are in hijab, full Shari'i hijab. And there's a mufti giving fatawa. And businesses are coming according to Islam. And people are giving bayanat. And no one is scared of anyone. So the man will tell you that, you know what, you'd rather go live in Medina. It's not going to happen here. We haven't got time for this. And go in how many countries where they'll tell you the same story. That one man came and today, look what's happening. Amazing. Colonel Amiruddin, Rahimullah, was famous, who came to South Africa many a time. And Hafiz Patel, Damat Barakatuh, who we all know, the Amir of Tabligh of England, and whoever has gone to the Markaz, Jewsbury, will understand what a thing it is. So Colonel Amiruddin, after he goes into the work of Tabligh, he comes to Hafiz Patel, Damat Barakatuh, and he says to him that, you know what, like, what's happening? So he says, you know, we opened up a madrasa, like a hifz, and I got these four boys make dua. So he says, you know what, you must go in the path of Allah. You have to go. And he says, you go in the path of Allah, and I promise you, one day you won't see four boys, you will see a whole ulumia, a whole institute. Everything will be happening here, everything. So Hafiz Patel Sahib looked at him and laughed and said, you don't understand what's happening. And he said, I'm telling you, just go out and you will see it happening. But he says, he never want to listen to me. And Allah Tabarak Ta'ala made it that after that, somehow or the other, Hafiz Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Damat Barakatuh, got caught up in the work of Tabligh. And he went out. Madrasa carried on. And then few years later, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala made it boom. And now when they're having the opening of the Markaz, which is a Darul Uloom, and now so many students, and now they're having that khatam, the first khatam, now he phones Colonel Amiruddin and says, you know what, you are right. He says, what was that? That at that moment, what it was? In the middle of nowhere. Now you look at it today, you say, where? Like a Muslim state, this thing. So when one man has sharh sadr, what and what can happen? And many a time, that's the reason why non-Muslims who enter into Islam change people more than Muslims change them. Because when that person enters, he got conviction completely, this is the true way. Our problem is that we still think there's little bit enjoyment in that way. I never got the chance to taste it. The man who ate it, he's vomiting it out. But because we have that desire, you know, if only little bit I can see. That sharh sadr must come. That, oh Allah, I now understood this is the road I have to walk this way. I can't go that way. One, two examples. Colonel Amiruddin was giving a bayan. I was listening to the other day in the car. So he mentioned that. And he had a unique way of talking also. Very amazing way. So I forgot the long story that he mentioned. But he was just saying, look at sharh sadr. That when your heart is like, you got yaqeen on something. So first he said he went to one house of his friend who's also very active in the work of Tabligh. So that young boy in the house said, Colonel Sahib, you know how to drink water. So he laughed. So he said, hey, I don't know how to drink water. You're going to teach me? He said, come, I teach you. So he says, Colonel Sahib, here's the glass. So he said, hold the glass. So Colonel Sahib held it. So he said, sit down. So he sat. If you can't drink, sit standing. He said, are you holding it in your right hand? Hold it in your right hand. And he said, look in the water. You saw in the water? He said, I saw in the water. He said, now drink with minimum 3 sips. Then he drank. He said, right, say Alhamdulillah. He said, you saw, Colonel Sahib, I taught you 5 things to do when drinking water. How many? He said, 5. So he said, I'm telling the boy like a... But he said, look at this boy's mind. So he said, you know, Colonel Sahib, what you got... You did 5 actions, you sat, you held it in your right hand, you looked at it, you drank it on the number 3 or more, and you said, Alhamdulillah. You did 5 actions in a time where no one is practicing on the sunnah. So you know, you can get the reward of 500 shaheed. Amazing, isn't it? He told you. Karan Sahib said, amazing. He said, you know what's more amazing than that? He said, that when you're going to get 500 shaheed, I'm going to get 1,000 shaheed. Because I taught you. So Karan Sahib started laughing and he said, you know what? Small boy is talking. He says, you want to get 1,000 shaheed? He said, I want to. He said, go teach somebody else. And then he said, but remember, when you teach someone, he'll get 500, you get 1,000, I get 1,500. So I'm ahead already. So he said, and the father came and said, I'm amazed at your son. But that small boy had that yaqeen on this amal, which a big man won't have it also. What a thing it was. Imagine that. When Allah Pak opens a heart, that boy is looking at big sawab. You will never think of a thing like that. So he mentioned that. And then he mentioned another example of how one person he gave dawah to in one club. Famous story was famous. He mentioned it many times in South Africa also. But that Sharh has Sadr issue. That I'm on the right. So he says he goes into the club and he said we would never have gone in the club, but the Mashwara said you'll have to go. So when we entered, it was a Muslim owner. So when we knocked at the door, one pretty girl, he says, wearing that half-half. She said, what you want? So he said that, you know, we want to speak to whatever is Junaid or Ahmed or whatever. So Ahmed came, he was shocked. He said, what y'all want? He said, we want to come. He said, this is not for you people. He says, no, isn't it entry for anyone? He said, yeah, but not for you. He says, no, we also want to come in. Let us come. So he says, he came in and it was filled with Arabs. Only Arabs. This was at the beginning. But he had so much of Sharia Sadr on his own mission that imagine you walk into a club, you need Sharia Sadr for that. That I am on the right, they are all blind. So he says, we sat and we asked the man that, you know what, we're not going to take long in this club, we haven't got much to drink here. But we just want to talk, and he said, I knew a little bit Arabic. So everyone in a club, you like free. Anyone can come sing, you can give bayan, you can do what you want. So he called him, he said, let's have one small bayan. And he started speaking. So I forgot the number, but he says at the end of that bayan, about 14 people he took out for 4 months. 14 people. And about 3-4 couples accepted Islam. Accepted Islam. So he says the one woman who accepted Islam, she and her husband, both of them like, in this business. So this woman says that I became a Muslim, what must I do now? So he says, no, you have to go learn your faith. You can't just be, you must go learn it. So go ask one alim of your town. He says, my sister, do some things at the beginning. That number one, you can't dress like this anymore. I mean, nothing is covered. He says, you have to cover this. He says, the parda is hard, I understand. But at least, you know what, cover your body. Then try for the scarf. But you have to change. You can't carry on like this. And then he said, now you go to an alim. He said, but I'll tell you one, two things. Make dua. Because I can't help you now to teach you Islam. But you make dua every day after you read your salah. Even if you don't know what to read in the salah, you make dua that, oh Allah, you open up my road of hidayah. And Allah will create people who will come and teach you your deen. Because this was at that time when there was nothing happening. So then he says that it was a long time after that, that it's in his place where he was out in Jamaat somewhere, so it was 2 o'clock in the morning. So that said it must have been about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and he gets a phone call. And now she's explaining who she is. So he says that, you know what, how did you get my number? She said, no, I got your number from somewhere. I need to ask the question. So he says that you phoning foreign, from a foreign country, is working out very expensive for you, I'm sure. Because it wasn't like our time today where mobile is cheap. He said, you should have written that question and sent it, I would have given you the answer. But it would have worked out much cheaper. So she said, all that wealth that me and my husband earned in that era of ignorance, if I had to spend all that wealth just to get this one answer, it's worth it also. Which woman will talk like that? Which woman will talk like that? And then she says, I only got one question, that from the time you left, I went into the complete niqab. Where he was telling her, you know, you go slowly, like, because we also will talk, like, can't push the people. But that person whose heart Allah opens, that person went in full niqab. Full. Everything changed. She said, full niqab. And then me and my husband started giving dawah. Because you told us we must give dawah to others. So we started. And we're bringing people to our houses and we're giving them open dawah. No fear. Which person will do it to the non-Muslim? A non-Muslim will do it. When the non-Muslim accepts Islam, things are happening. The Muslim will feel shy. We see a Christian, we're not going to talk. But find a Christian who accepted Islam, he can't keep quiet. We have to tell him, you know, you can't just go everywhere. He said, no, I'll go in the church and I'll give da'wat. What shara' as-sadr? That's what Musa alayhi salam's first dua was. Oh Allah, give us that shara' as-sadr. So he says, when we call that da'wat, for that one da'wat I had to go out because there wasn't something in the house, so I went on the bus. And as getting on the bus, I had to pull myself. As I pulled, that day it happened, this thing came slightly down. So from the time it came down, I got that worry. That is this path going to burn now? So he's looking and he's saying that that woman who was naked once upon a time, what her heart opened up. That she's worried about that small path. Worried about that small path. Sharh sadr. And where there's no sharh sadr, then he said, then the opposite is, that we reached one house, and one very pretty girl opened. And then, in very fussy, beautiful Arabic, she spoke and she said, hey, I know who you people are. And in Arabic, she's saying, I know who you people are. You all are Jama'atul Tabligh. And you all are the people who say, and in proper, beautiful Arabic, now she explained the 6 points. You all say, La ilaha illallah. And you all say, you must perform salah, wa tusalli salah bil khushu wal khudu. And then you must give this and ikram a Muslim and everything she said. So he said, wah. He said, you have said the 6 points very well, my sister, but what happened to your clothing? No clothing. So she says, no, I know you Jamaat al-Tabligh because my mother was a very strong Tablighi, my father. So she asked, where are you from? He said, from Lebanon. Now we come to live here. I say, what happened to you? But she says, no. My mother used to always be hard on me in this game, but I used to always run away when the Jamaats would come. I wasn't really interested. And he says, then a time came where I got married to someone who was also not was like me, meaning both of us were not so much deeni. But we weren't so like this open. But when we came here and we looked for a job, and because of the prices of things, finally we got a job and offering, but it was at a club. So the first day I went in like a burqa, although no parda, but in a burqa because she had come from a good family. So the man told that, you know what, I can give you all the job and the pay is good. You and your husband can work, but it wasn't like maybe a club of wine and that, but like how you say restaurants. Go to England, you'll understand. Everywhere there's restaurants and in the ending you have to take the liquor, although you don't hold it. So he says, but you can't dress like this. And he told her, we're not asking you to be naked, but at least dress presentable. So she asked, what's presentable? So he said, no, you don't have to have so long sleeves. You can make your sleeves shorter. You can take out the scarf at least. At least your hair can flow. We're not asking you to take out anything else. And he says, we went home and we thought about it. And he says, it's not really a major issue. And he says, as the years went by and because of and slowly, slowly, the moment then he says, so she said, this is what I ended up in today. He says, my husband, he fell in love with all other girls besides me, so in the ending I had to finally ask for a divorce. He went his way, and then I got married to one Christian man. So then he said, look at this. When there was no sharh al-sadr on your own mission, so Islam has come to stay. The problem is, who's going to stay in Islam? So Musa alayhi salam's first dua, oh Allah, my heart open it to Islam. To this reality. Because if the heart is not open, forget fighting Firaun. You yourself will break yourself with your nafs and you gone. Allah save us all. He said, Rabbi shrah li sadri. And if shaitan tells you impossible, then in dua, Musa alayhi salam's second dua was, wayassir li amri. That oh Allah, I'm not going to look at matters on the outside. You make the matter easy for me. Now we'll go into the waters. I will fight it. وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِّنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي So two duas he made. Oh Allah, شَرْحِ صَدَرْ Oh Allah, help from your side. Third dua is, Oh Allah, let me be able to express what is within me. That not which is on the tongue, that inability to express it, Oh Allah, you remove that. And it was a dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when you get that شَرْحِ صَدَرْ now be ready to openly express it in front of others. So he said, Oh Allah, I'll make it such that I can explain to others what reality is. That they can also understand this reality. That was the dua of Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib when he said, Jo bhi meri baat sune, wo bhi tujh pe jaan de. And Allah, he who hears my talk, he also must give his life for you. And then he said, in every makan, in every zaban, make someone who will be my tongue. That someone can express what's within, which Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, his desire was, and the beginning was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he made his army of Sahaba. And when they were ready, then he told them, did I give you all the message? And when they said, you gave us, he said, now one thing, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبُ. That I want you to go out in the world now. And he would tell the Sahaba, soon the time will come where others will come to learn deen at your feet. They are my guests. He would say, treat them kindly, look after them, and teach them this. And he made his tongue in the entire world. And the tongue hasn't come to an end till today. Allah will carry on creating someone who will be saying the voice of Rasulullah. It will go out. Reality will be said. So Musa alayhi salam's first dua was, oh Allah, myself I must be blessed with that. Yaqeen on my mission, sharh sadr. Oh Allah, help from your side. And he said, the tongue must be able to express the reality. وَجْعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. And thereafter he said, oh Allah, let it not be me alone only in this. Because man always wants that he has a mahal also that's helping him. And the mahal starts with your own family first. So he made a dua for everyone, that let my main helper be in my immediate family also. That if your wife is your support, you got it made. But if your wife is not with you, your child is not with you, life is very hard. So my immediate family are behind me in every part of this mission. Not only they give me support, wa ashrikhu fi amri, make them partners in this mission of mine also. That they moving with me. Because when I got an army, kay nusabbihaka kathira wa nadhkuraka kathira. Because when we in a jamaat, it's easier to remember you, O Allah. Now we don't have to argue, we don't have to fight, I don't have to prove my point in the house. Now when I am weak, the other one is helping. Now to remember Allah becomes easy. Sometimes the man is more pious than the wife, but sometimes the wife is more pious than the man. Allah Pak made it like, you have your ups and you have your down. When the man is coming down the mountain, at least if his wife is going up, things will remain balanced. So he says, if we have an army with us, then it's easy to think of you, Allah. To remember you, to make your zikr, which we all see. If you know that your sheikh is going to make zikr with a jamaat, everyone will make. And if someone is saying, make your own zikr, you say, I'll make it after fajr and you go to sleep. You'll never do it. When you have some support, things happen. When there's no support, ask a boy who's doing hifz. You tell him, you're doing hifz very hard. Why? Because he's doing it alone. Tell him, join the hifz class. Where everyone is doing it, you'll do it one shot. One boy is trying to learn Urdu in 2 months. But 2 years have gone already, he's never learned no Urdu. You tell him, one thing you're not doing, go in the class to learn Urdu in 2 months. Once you sit in the class, you don't need the book, learn Urdu in 2 months. In 2 months, you already know it. So what unique du'as he made. That, O Allah, sharh sadr, yaqeen on my mission. O Allah, help from your side. O Allah, a tongue to express this reality that others can understand. O Allah, and my own family must be my main support in this matter. And he ended it on finally, إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. And O Allah, I know that your help is the real help in the end. You looking at me is more than enough, but man's tabiat is such, he wants help around also. So I'm asking for my family to be with me in this mission, but not because I need them. Your eye on me is the main thing. But that's tabiat of man. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala then spoke to Musa alayhi salam. قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, oh Musa, we have given it. And whoever will make this dua, then Allah Tabarak Ta'ala is not one who will give only to one. But who makes the dua of a Musa, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will give the response he gave to that Musa. What you wanted, we will give it to you. Now go ahead. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. And together with that, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, and oh Musa, remember, that at the moment you making these few du'as, it's in your mind, I need this, I need this, I need this to stand up against the fitnas of the world. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, remember there was those times where you were not making no dua, and even then we were making you stand up against the fitna. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Meaning, if you think that to fight shaitan is very hard, up till now what we're doing here? How did we manage still with iman? That Allah will say, you never asked up till now, but you're still standing. So your Allah's love is the only thing keeping us going. So Musa alayhi salam was told, there were so many times you never asked. You were also in front of Fir'aun so many times before. At that time you never even knew Fir'aun is so strong. Who was looking after you? إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ أَنِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ. When we gave a message to your mother, that take this boy and put him in a box, and take the box and throw it in the waters. فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. And then let the waters push him to the edge. يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِي. That my enemy and his enemy can grab him. And then what we started at the beginning, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةَ مِنْ. At that moment, we just created a covering of love upon you. Forget protection, forget the army of the angels, just one covering of love. And that was sufficient for you in the entire war against Fir'aun. And that's what the previous surah ended on. Those people who have iman and good actions, Allah says, the first thing I'll do, I'll give you the covering of love. سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّهُ. So he says, we gave you that covering of love, and what happened after that? That you could be in the lap of Fir'aun, وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. And Fir'aun knew he doesn't want to look after you, but he couldn't understand why he's looking after you. The mother knew she can't protect you, but you were being protected. Asya every time was having problems, but you were growing up under our direct look. And then Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, and then وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا. Don't you remember the time came where you killed a man of the people of Fir'aun? That's like the worst crime. At that time, who looked after you? وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ. And Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, and we took you through so many difficult times. All those times. And you're still standing. And the message was given to us, how many times we drove. There were certain times where we thought we could have a car accident. So normally in this, the other day when that incident happened in Azad, when in the madrasa, that people came to rob. So on the dastarkhan someone was sitting, so he was saying something like, you know what, like, it's heavy like this. And you know, it must be like traumatic. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala's fadal, we never get pulled in so much of trauma. Allah save us all from trauma. But I explained one point to him. I said, amazing, the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us one lesson. Where he said, wa'alam, listen well, annama akhta'aka لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. أَخْطَأَ is normally used when the man takes the arrow and he shoots at the target and he just misses. And when he just misses, So he says, that which just missed was never supposed to hit. But what he was explaining is that there are many times you drive your car and you don't think there was going to be an accident. So that night you come home and you got no tension. Because nothing happened. And then there is sometimes when you're driving and you just miss. So he says when you just miss, understand it's exactly like the time when you never even knew you missed. There's no difference. What you just missed was never going to hit you. So this one and that one must be both the same in your eye. How that one never make you come back with tension and you thinking, hey, 1 second. This one's supposed to not create. But it's our condition. That man, imagine he got a card and they're calling out the numbers. Who won the lottery? So if they're calling out, and they're calling out, and the numbers are not hitting, no problem. He doesn't even get tension. He'll carry his question up. But what happens if they're calling out five, got five, one, zero, come to the last number four, it's three, And then he'll kill himself that night. I missed it by one. That's where tension is created. So he was told, what just missed you is exactly the same. It wasn't going to come. But Allah made the system like that. What just missed you? So how many times we in our life, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala teaches us, that up till now you're still standing. The accident never happened. The killing never happened. Shaitan's attack after attack after attack never hit. So that Allah who protected up till now is going to continue protecting. Allah grant us all understanding.
سبحان الله وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.